The scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
It's good to be here this morning. It's good for everyone to be here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to let you know, if you're visiting with us, we hope, pray that you'll come back. Well, this is our last Sunday of this year. Amazing. And with that being said, you think about the beauty of 2019. If the Lord permits all of us to see that, it will definitely be a blessing. As I was thinking about what should I speak on as it relates to charging us for 2019, how can I encourage us? How can I admonish us? How can I help us to see the need for us to be one man as we go into the new year? As I was thinking about that, I thought about the world in which we live in and how men have different agendas, things that they want to do, things that they want to carry out. And I thought about the agenda of God, how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all are one. And they have the same agenda, and that is to save man from their sins. And that is for mankind to live with him throughout eternity, worshiping God throughout eternity, serving him. And I thought about, how can 2019 be a blessing for all of us? Hope and pray and trust that you'll lend me your ear for a few minutes. As we talk about 2019, everyone is needed. We live in a time today where some people don't think that others are needed. We live in a time today where some people don't think they're needed. But I want to say that if you're a member of the body of Christ, if you're a member of the church, you're important. Amen. You're needed. And we need you. When we consider Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, Paul, as he is talking to a Gentile people, we know they're Gentiles because of Acts 19. Acts 19 and Acts 20 is the foundation, the background, the backdrop of the book of Ephesians. He's talking to these individuals because they had been, number one, baptized into Christ. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, according to Ephesians 2, 11 through 16, broke down that middle wall of partition that was between them and the Gentiles, not between them and God. And that's important to note. And the reason why that's important to note, friends, because the Jews, of course, being God's people in the old covenant, now Jews and Gentiles are God's people. Why? Because they have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have all spiritual blessings which are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And now they have the hope of eternal life and have the responsibility of glorifying God, Ephesians 3 and verse number 21, which is in the church. Friends, when we consider the importance, the value, and our need to accomplish what God desires for us to accomplish, that is glorifying him. It's interesting that God is to be glorified in the church And it is his people that are supposed to go out into a dark world and glorify God. Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, God wants us to be that light. He wants us to go out there and live the right life before people, the Christian life, the highest moral character type life, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Friends, family, did you get that? God is to get the glory in the church by Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we go out and we do that, men who are on the outside of the light can see the light and ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Or that's the God of heaven because of the high moral standard of the people that are following him. We stop and we consider Christ, God. They expect us, talking about the church, to work together in the keeping of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you notice in your Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll spend a little bit of time here, and then we'll transition into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everyone is needed. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 3, notice what your Bible there communicates. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3. Notice what the Bible says. Endeavoring to keep the unity, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes into those seven ones. And as members of the Lord's people, as gospel teachers and preachers, let us never get away from these seven ones. Because that is the very foundation, if you will, of gospel preaching. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you are called, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, called by thy gospel into one hope. One hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. This is Paul's exhortation to the Gentile brethren. To all of the brethren, if you will. But then we notice God also expects his people to work as one man. I love how Brother Michael Ferguson read the scriptures on this morning, and he emphasized perfect man. God desires for us to be one man, one people. So what did God do? Well, in verses 7 through verse number 11, notice what God did. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and notice the word, and gave, that's important, gave gifts to men. What did God give? What were these gifts? Verse number 9. Notice the parenthetical statement here. You learn a lot from parenthetical statements. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Talking about when Christ died and he was buried. But then notice, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens. You remember when Jesus was raised on the third day, spent 40 days upon the earth, Acts 1 verses 8 and following, he is ascended to his Father. Daniel 7 verse 12 through 13 and 14 says that that cloud took him up, brought him to the Ancient of Days, and was given to him dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Amen. We see something very powerful here, that through the work of Christ, he was ready to give gifts, that he might fill all things. Notice, you can put a line between the word gave in verse number 8 and the word gave in verse number 11. You can put a line there. We're studying the Bible right now. And he himself gave. What did he give? He gave some to be apostles. You can put Acts chapter 1 verses 21 and 22 there, where the qualifications of apostles are met. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what reason? Now, friends, three times you see the word for. Three times.
for the equipping of the saints, that's the church, for the work of ministry, for service, for the building up of the body of Christ. Three times you see the word for there. Why are those fours important? They're important because of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers are in the church for these reasons. In order for us to be that perfect man, that one man, if you will. No wonder we go to the apostles' doctrine. No wonder we go to what the prophets say in the New Testament as well, like the book of Luke. No wonder we are for the work of ministry and to build up one another, to encourage one another in the most holy faith, Jude 20. But then notice what he says in verse number 13. Notice the time word in verse number 13, till. When we consider, and I put this in my notes and I thought it was very interesting, that when I saw this, I'm like, this is powerful. That if in 2019 that we're going to have the attitude that everyone is needed, that means everyone must grow. We can't be stagnant. We can't go backwards. We need to grow together as one man going forward toward heaven. Notice, till we all come to the unity of the faith. What does that mean? What does it mean that till we all come to the unity of the faith? Whatever the faith teaches, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, we need to get to the bottom of it and be thinking the same things and teach the same things and apply the same word. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, here it is, this is the purpose, to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, friends, God desires for all of us to grow. God desires for all of us to be a people that mature, maturation, if you please. But then notice verse number 14, that we should no longer be children. That requires maturity, growth, tossed to and fro by and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow. You see that again, the maturation process. We ought to be growing. We ought to be maturing, if you will. That we may grow up in all things into him. Not some things, but all things. Who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body is joined and knit together. By what every joint supplies. Notice this. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Now notice, every single part of the body, Brother Rick, ought to do its share. When we consider the leaders, they do their share. When we consider the members, they do their share. Everyone is doing their part. Which means that if I'm not doing a part, I need to do a part. Why? Because I want to be part of the maturation process and the progress of this local work. But then notice the very next word. Causes growth. There's that maturation again. Of the body, of the building up of itself in love. I put in my Bible a little note. This is an in-house job. What are you doing to help us in-house? What part are you playing? We already set the parameters of you being needed. There's not one person in this building that's not needed. We have members that are out of town. They're visiting family. You know, when they come back, we're going to tell them the same thing. You're needed. You're important. You're vital. You're valuable. Brother Brian and his family, they're out of town. They're valuable. Even though they're not here, they're still valuable to us. The Scots, they're gone. They're valuable to us. Amen. They're valuable. Guess what? You're valuable too. We live in a society today where, well, you don't bring this to the table. or you don't contribute this to the table.
God says, you're valuable. Why? Because God wants the church to improve. No idleness, if you will. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, again, remember according to Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Here we see that Paul is talking to the Corinthians. The Corinthian church had many problems. Yet, he demonstrates to them that they are needed. That they shouldn't be vying over tongues. They shouldn't be fighting whether or not a person is up front and they are able to interpret the tongues, if you will. Don't do that he's saying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, notice what the scriptures say. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Notice this doctrinal point real quick. For by one Spirit, that's revelation. Holy Spirit brought forth revelation. We're reading the revelation that the Holy Spirit brought. We were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we're all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. You know what he's saying? Because I'm not the hand, I'm not important. Yes, you are. The other day, no one knows this, I went to get the trash can. Mike was out of town. That's usually his job. I go get the trash can, and I'm thinking about some things. I'm looking up in the air and had a couple trees cut down. Well, there's a little stump there. Flip myself right over that stump. Guess what? My foot was saying, you're important. My hands were saying, you're important, because they were all damaged, if you will. And I felt it. Here's the point. You know, when you're hurting, that hurts us. When we're in tune with the body of Christ, it hurts. Which means that when you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, we're rejoicing because you're part of the body. And the body of Christ is important. So the foot shouldn't say to the hand, I'm not part of the body. Notice what the rest of verse 15 says. It is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. It is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the member, each one of them, listen to this, friends, in the body, just as he pleased. Guess what? God does what he pleases, and everything that God does is good. Amen. You're a member of the body of Christ here. You're important. You're needed. 2019, we need you. We need you right where God placed you. Verse 20. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Friends, you notice that Brother Bonner didn't say you were needed. God said it. Amen. God said you're necessary, you're needed, you're valuable, you're important. If God allows us to see 2019, take that to that year, please. But then notice what he goes on to say. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You see how important we are?
Or if we take this attitude like we need to, and we begin with it in the home, and we translate it to the job, and then it enters into our entertainment, and of course we bring it here, that it doesn't matter who we are, we're important, we're valuable, and everyone is needed. So with that being said, just for a few minutes, three quick points. Number one, let's mature in the spirit. Number two, everyone is needed in accountability. And number three, we need one another in going to heaven. Number one, in 2019, let's mature in the spirit. What do you mean by that? In Galatians chapter 5, turn your Bibles there, and you'll notice something very important. Galatians 5 and verse number 16, and verse, notice what Paul says. I say then, walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Friends, did you hear that? Walk according to the spirit's teaching, if you will. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. When I walk according to the spirit, I'm walking according to the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 20 and 21. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, we don't want that group. Why? Because we want to inherit the kingdom of God. We want to be saved. We want to be with God. But notice verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, or gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law. Friends, notice what the Bible here demonstrates. And friends, all of us need to have this in our lives, these in our lives. And when you bring these and I bring these to the table of God, friends, all of us benefit, every last one of us. Friends, when we consider Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, that is the height of moral character. When we consider Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, Rick Popejoy, that is the base of moral character. What does God want? God wants us to be a people with the height of moral character. So therefore, we add to our faith. We grow in grace. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 5, notice what the Bible here says. And friends, when we consider maturing in the spirit, having the right attitude because of the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, Philippians 2 and verse number 5, but also verse number 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, for this reason, given all diligence, add to your faith, what? Moral excellence, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, notice, godliness. Piety. God wants us to be a people of piety. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. You know, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, there the Bible tells us that the end of the commandment is love. God wants us to be a people who are going to do that which is best for our brethren, even for the world. Love your enemies. When we consider this, God wants us to add these things to our faith. Notice verse number 8. For if these things are yours and abound, can you stop real quick? Do you know that if you're practicing these things right now, we really need you? Amen. The world needs you. Why? Because most of the world are not practicing these things. So they need an example. And one thing I love about Jesus, and I know you do too, that Jesus is the example worth following. No wonder Paul would say, follow me even as I follow Christ. Here, the world needs these things, and they ought to be able to look at the Church of Christ and see it. God's moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. And friends, we are his moral culture.
But Brother Bonner, we fail at times. The moral thing to do is to make it right. Amen. Brother Royce had a wonderful class this morning. Let me go ahead and throw a plug in for 2019. If you're not coming to Bible class, start coming. That was an excellent class this morning on forgiveness. You know, many of our homes could use that. The world that we live in could use that. Brother Royce, thank you for preaching the word, teaching the word. And friends, there are many who are not even forgiving, even among us, in our circle, in this building. Oh, preachers, some preachers love to talk about other congregations. No, the preachers in that congregation to talk about that congregation. We got to forgive. We have to exercise these moral characters. The world needs it. We need it. Notice what he says. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed or purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, now notice, a person can be aware of these Christian virtues, if you will. But if we don't do them, it means absolutely nothing. So he says, for if you do these things, if you do these things, Jesus would often say, verily, 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 if you do these things, notice what he says, you will never stumble. I put a little note in my Bible, you'll have a clear path to glory. You'll never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, Peter, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was inspired by God. He would not lie to us that if we did these things, we have a clear path to glory. Clear path to heaven. We're just trying to get to heaven. Number two, everyone is needed in accountability. We are our brother's keeper. We here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ should always strive to be a pure congregation for righteousness, a purposeful congregation for righteousness, a practicing congregation for righteousness, a praying congregation for righteousness, which means that if sin arises in my life, then I need to get it out. If sin arises in the Lord's church, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 and 5, all of us are to work together, as Paul told the church at Corinth, you get that man that is among you who has his father's wife, you get him out of here. Why? Because he's going to leaven the whole lump. That's good teaching right there. And the reason why that's great teaching is because we need to join forces when it comes to sin. All of us. Sin should not be isolated. That when we know about sin, we're trying to root it out. Because sin causes problems. 1 John 5 and verse number 19, the world lies in wickedness and sin. The reason why Jesus came to this world was to save us from sin. And the very thing that put Jesus on the cross should be the last thing we allow in the church. So, what we have to do is to join forces in that. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just a little note. We have that man who has repented, 2 Corinthians 2. He told them to confirm your love for him, lest he be overburdened with sorrow. Oh, Brother Royce was saying it right this morning as it relates to when a brother goes to another brother and he gets it right, he ought to forgive him. You know, when a brother commits sin, a sister commits sin, and they make it right, they come before the church, they make it right, we ought to say, man, I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you made it back.
I'm glad you was working on that and you got it out of your life. And here's the whole congregation. Let me go ahead and drop this off. This is free.
When a person turns away from sin, I'm talking about a Christian. That's not the time for other Christians to act like something great didn't happen. When a Christian comes before and they say, I have sinned, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And we know it takes a lot of courage because many don't do that. We wrap our arms around them. 2019, we ought to be telling one another, I'm glad you made that right. I'm glad that we're on the right road together. We're going home together. So we rejoice. Romans 12, 14 and 15. You know, we're so thankful for the accomplishments that we have. Promotions, jobs, material things. That's great. We need to. I believe one of the greatest accomplishments that we can encourage one another in, listen to this, is when a brother or sister turns away from their sin and they say, I've sinned and I need y'all to pray for me. That's a great accomplishment. That's a wonderful accomplishment. Oh, how many brothers and sisters just stay to stay in sin? Let me go ahead and say this. The next time you want to stay in sin, remember, hold on, I can't do this. The church needs me. And I need the church. I know we live in a time today where we say, I don't need nobody. Yes, you do. Social media demonstrates that we need one another. But God thought about social media before social media was thought of. He called it the Church of Christ. So when we fail, we make it right. We own it. We repent of it. James 5, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 3 through 11. We own it. We hold one another accountable. We hold leadership accountable. Leadership holds you accountable. Why? Because we're in this together. Third, but definitely not less important, we need one another in going to heaven. In Philippians chapter 3, turn your Bibles there. In Philippians chapter 3, we notice something very important here. I want us to consider how important heaven is. It's so important. Verse 17, we want to make sure that we're following those who are following Christ. It's so important that verse number 18, we understand that there are going to be some who are going to leave the path going toward heaven. And we need to take note of that. I really believe when we consider those who have left the faith, God is allowing us to see that and say, is that what you want? When we consider verse number 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. But notice what he says in verse 20. For our citizenship, we need one another in going to heaven. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. We sing a song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Our citizenship is in heaven. When we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God put our name in a book, if you will, in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. Therefore, when we pray to God, we pray to the God of heaven. Our focus is in heaven. Our speech is heavenly. Our attitude is above. For our citizenship is in heaven. Notice what he goes on to say. For which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. A lot of people are waiting on many things. As Christians, we're waiting on the Savior. Mark, we're waiting on the Savior. We're waiting on Jesus. And every day we ought to have anticipation of going back home, be with God. Therefore, our decision making is based upon heaven. Look at 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17 as we wrap up. Everyone is needed in 2019. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Notice what the Bible here says. A very familiar passage of scripture for us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, notice, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, notice, abides forever. Heaven is our goal. We're waiting on God. And because of that, we want to be with the one in whom we're dwelling in now, and that's Christ. So when we consider, let's mature in the Spirit. Everyone is needed in accountability. No one is above the law. And we need one another in going to heaven. You need your spouse. You need your brethren. We need one another. And we ought to expect it. That when I fall, I expect my brethren to come and put their arms around me and say, "Get up, Mike." When I'm rejoicing, I expect my brethren to come and say, "Hey, keep it up." Because that's what we're supposed to be doing with one another. Let's encourage each other. In 2019, let's be a people that are seeking to encourage one another to the glory of God. And guess what? Those who are out in the world who don't see this often, brother, they'll say, "I want to be like that. I want to think like that. I want that type of peace. I want that type of comfort. I want that type of love. I want that." And then we respond by saying, "We can help you get it. We'll take you to the Word of God."
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll offer the invitation. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day. Thankful for the blessings of this life. Thankful for the church. Thankful for the forgiveness of sins. Pray to Father that we'll encourage one another, that we'll tell one another that you're needed and that you're valuable. And we pray to Father that we'll always keep that in our minds. Father, I ask that you be with the elders here, the deacons, the ministers, the members, and help us to be shining lights in the midst of San Angelo, that others may be able to see our good works and glorify you, that when they honor and praise us, we say it's not about us, it's about you, because you love to be glorified. Forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a Christian, the Bible demonstrates to us that to be a Christian, one must obey the gospel. The gospel is the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. But it's also the kingdom of God, Mark 1, 14 and 15. Those in the book of Acts, they obeyed the gospel by believing that Jesus was the Christ. They repented of all of their sins. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they were baptized, God added them to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. But maybe you're a child of God, you need special prayer. Maybe you have the attitude that everyone's not valuable. Let's not think like that. Every single one of us are valuable. As we stand and as we sing the glorious Savior's